Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Laker fans, this is the Daily Sports Herald. We've been out of our podcasting for some time, but tonight we're going to get back into it. You're going to be speaking with the editors of the Daily Sports Herald. My name is Manish Pandya. On the line, we got Michael Elliott.
What's happening, business, Manish?
There you go, Mike. First order of business here at Lakers Court is to put our verdict down on what we think of this upcoming offseason and how we saw the Lakers end the 2018-2019 season. Obviously, on everybody's mind, the first major event that took place was the resignation of Magic Johnson. A lot to talk about here, and we want to get it done in a concise way. So, Mike, First and foremost,
there's a lot to talk about.
What are your thoughts about the manner and the why? Why did he leave? How did he leave? What were your thoughts when it happened?
Oh man, well first of all, I'm glad we're bringing it back to the Lakers court, the home court. We ain't taking no plea bargains today. We're taking this case to trial, okay? And let me just say, I think there's a method to the madness with Magic. I mean, it's very interesting if you hear what's reported in various outlets. First of all, he had a meeting with LeBron James a couple of days prior, and LeBron James and his team a couple of days prior to the exit. Then he met with Jeannie the day before for a couple hours, 3 hours, it's been reported. And something happened in those meetings to prompt him to want to leave. And a lot can be inferred from them. Number one, we all know he wanted Luke to go. He basically said so at the presser the next day. And I think he also wanted Pelinka to go because he was hinting about backstabbing and stuff of that nature. Now, I have a theory, and I know we've talked about this off-air, Manish, about some of the backstabbing that we believe might have occurred. Some of it could be this Rob Pelinka talking up at the practices saying, where's Magic, where's Magic? You know, some of it could be some of the backstabbing that occurred when he tried to make that AD deal and, you know, various people on the Pelican side were leaking who was in the trade or who was not in the trade, etc. Some of it could be from Luke Walton and his camp. And I know we've theorized that the media hasn't picked up on this, but a lot of
those Arizona boys.
Yeah, we have Damon Sotomayor running his mouth. We have Richard Jefferson, the same Richard Jefferson. He's getting very brave as an ESPN commentator. But I remember those 2004 Olympic games when Richard Jefferson was petrified to nail a 20-foot jumper when all these other overseas teams were backing up off of him. He definitely showed he wasn't no alpha at all, but now he's very brave sticking up for Luke and running his mouth unchecked.
He decided to talk about – he was very comfortable talking about how – what Magic Johnson's level of competence was and whether Magic Johnson had any business running the Lakers. I just kept wondering every time I'd hear him say that, who the hell let this man on TV?
Oh, true agenda to call out who's competent and who is incompetent as an executive. Why are we starting off with Magic Johnson? How about James Dolan? That guy's a walking farce. Why aren't we talking about some of the more egregious examples compared to Magic? And a big problem I have with that whole notion about Magic being incompetent, most people that had any clue about this knew that Magic was more of a closer in this role. No one really expected him to be doing the minutiae. That's why Pelinka held that post. And that's why they had Jesse Buss doing some of the scouting of the overseas and college players. They had other people to do more of the minutiae. Madge was the closer. And close he did when it came to LeBron. And we're going to talk about that as well because there's a lot of misconceptions that went down with that. But why, ultimately, your question, Manish, why did he do it in the manner? I think, first of all, Magic's always been genuine since the day he came to Los Angeles in 1980. He's always been worn his heart on his sleeve and has been very upfront and open and honest. And when he says, you know, I was frustrated by the job, my inability to contact players outside, to be a mentor, I think that's true. I think I take him at his word that that is a big portion of why he left. But I think also a part of the frustration was what he alluded to as the backstabbing and also not wanting to come in between Jeannie's preferences for who she wanted to be the coach and you know, his preferences. So I think that's also part of the frustration. I think he was being genuine when he said he was frustrated. It wasn't a front, but part of the frustration was the circumstances surrounding the front office makeup.
Piggy back on that point, that aspect of his frustration, I think we can't escape the reality, and it's been going around now, Stephen A. Smith, among others, reporting it. And I like the way that Stephen A. Smith in this case consistently called out the fact that not only did he know this to be true, but that he knew that Ramona Shelburne and Adrian Wojnarowski knew that these rumors were going around, that Magic Johnson wanted Rob Pelinka out. And it seems quite clear that along with his other frustrations, it seems from what we understand that he wanted Rob Pelinka fired as well as Luke Walton, and Jeannie Buss just seemed to say no. And arguably, that alone is a justification for the president of basketball operations to say, to hell with this. I'm a billionaire. I'm a Laker legend. You gave me a job, and you didn't let me run the job as I see fit. And I'm going to leave on the last day of the season and make it very well known that there's chaos in this house and that there needs to be order. And I'm doing it actually not only for my own peace of mind, but for the overall good of this organization that needs to be run better. What do you think of that?
Absolutely. In and of itself, that's a justified reason. Let's face it, Magic's bigger than this job. He's bigger and better than this job. And he can come in as a consultant, close a deal, and still effectively function in the same manner. But I agree with you know, all this stuff about him being frustrated by Pelinka. Well, why? What makes us think that he might be frustrated by Pelinka? Even if you throw aside some of the reporting that Pelinka was saying stuff about, where's Magic at practice, kind of hinting that he was, an absentee president. But what can we infer that was a problem with Pelinka? Well, first of all, you have Anthony Davis saying, you know, he wants to be traded, and clearly the Lakers are trying to make a deal for AD. But his own GM cannot get communication with the Pelicans because no one wants to deal with Pelinka. So right there is a red flag to Magic when all these other teams don't want to deal with Pelinka, as has been well reported. And so Madge has to do the calls himself. Okay, because they trust him more than they trust Rob Pelinka. Pelinka has a bit of a reputation. Larry Nance went public saying that, you know, prior to the deal when he got shipped to Cleveland, Pelinka was telling him, hey, you can buy a house. Everything's safe here. Don't worry. You're not on the trading block. And then, lo and behold, he's dealt to Cleveland. So, I mean, he has a reputation that precedes him. And, you know, it was problematic.
I think you can't overstate those two points. One, Pelinka's reputation as a duplicitous person, both with the players in the league and with other league owners. And I simply don't understand, and I think you're alluding to this, the possibility, from my perspective, how you can think a GM is actually going to function if you have teams hesitant to talk to him because they simply don't trust him or, frankly, just dislike the man that much. I mean, that's a major hurdle, I would think.
Well, one outlet today, or within the last 24 hours, put out a story that apparently Luke was given a chance to stay, and he backed out and left because he didn't like Pelinka himself. So, I mean, Pelinka isn't winning any popularity contests here, and I think it's fascinating that, you know, we're getting reports that maybe Luke, you know, was not necessarily going to be axed right away. And maybe that press release that we received from the Lakers, that it was a mutual parting of the ways, had a little bit more truth in it than merely trying to save face for Luke. Because apparently if you read what's out there coming out today, you know that Luke left because he couldn't deal with Pelinka either himself. So Jeannie has really hitched her horse to, hitched her wagon to Pelinka, and maybe that's the Kobe loyalty she has. And maybe
exactly.
Kobe directly,
I mean,
is poisoning
that's exactly
the franchise.
It.
And how Kobe can have more status than Magic Johnson with this franchise, for anyone who's over the age of 30 and has the common sense to understand that Magic is the Lakers. He is Los Angeles, far more than Kobe will ever be. And to hitch her wagon to Kobe's guy over Magic, you know, that was the case is extremely problematic to me, but I think to be fair, Magic also was a little bit burned out, you know, on some of the restrictions, the tampering that went, allegations that could go with this job, but a big part of the burnout was Pelinka. And I want to talk about Luke.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go. Well, I want to ask
no,
you.
No, I just wanted to touch base on not just the fact that Luke, but like there's the issue of Luke's firing. I do want to get to that in a second, but just sticking with Magic for right now. Part of the frustration I think also that came with him, and you can touch on this as well, is a massive hit job was done by the national media and local media to distort the record on how Magic Johnson had actually performed as president of basketball operations.
Yeah.
So, for example, gone and forgotten were the issues that he had made a bunch of maneuvers to get cap space open, including the correct decision to let D'Angelo Russell go in order to get rid of that Mozgov contract. The good drafting that they had actually done, getting Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma late in the first round, good quality second round picks that they later used for trades. And of course, the utterly underrated thing in the revisionist history about LeBron James. Magic Johnson's cachet was a major factor in LeBron James coming to Los Angeles. Actually, 2-3 months before this happened, if you looked at the major media, they were laughing at the idea that LeBron James would show up in the Lakers. But after Magic hooks him, later on, they don't want to give any credit, and they want to paint it as it was inevitable. LeBron was going to come anyway. Are you serious? I mean, at what point does anybody believe that Jim Buss could have hooked LeBron James under any circumstances? And for a more pertinent reason, could Rob Pelinka hook LeBron James in that similar circumstances? I highly doubt it.
First of all, Jim Buss is an incompetent laughingstock buffoon who's so socially awkward, he couldn't even land LaMarcus Aldridge, who wanted to come there and gave the Lakers a second chance. That guy would never have landed LeBron. And if you believe the media hype that it was inevitable, that just because he has a home and wants to be involved with Hollywood, that he was going to come no matter what, at best, with Jim Buss regime, maybe he comes in for a one-year deal with an opt-out afterwards, or he doesn't sign for no 4 years. Okay, that's the worst case. I mean, that if you're going to not give Magic credit, at least say, okay, he's coming inevitably, but Magic at least got those a longer-term deal. But Magic himself put this franchise in a state of legitimacy within the front office because they were a laughingstock with Jim Buss. And he turned Mitch Kupchak, a competent GM, into a puppet, effectively. But, I mean, let's look at the record. Let's look at Magic's record, and I agree. It's revisionist history with the media. They make it sound like the LeBron thing was inevitable. They make it sound like his legacy is affected. I mean, that's a flat-out joke. Does anyone really remember the coaching legacy? Or do we really remember Magic for being the greatest point guard of all time? I mean, it's a bunch of nonsense. This will be a blip on his basketball legacy. Okay, and it shouldn't even be that much of a negative blip, because let's look at where they were before and after. Before, they had horrific contracts with Deng and Mozgov. They had a few decent players, young players that were developing. They had drafted fairly well, but there was no chance that any free agent was coming. They'd struck out year after year after year, even when free agents gave them second chances to try to pitch them. Magic comes in, and let's go through things chronologically. Magic comes in. First thing he does, he ditches Clarkson, $11 million a year, bad balloon contract, and Nance, who hasn't panned out to be anything more than a role player to Cleveland, gets Isaiah Thomas back, expiring deal. That trade's a win. He ditches D'Angelo and Russell. Everyone now, at the time, they were saying, oh, that's a good move. They're getting rid of Mozgov. Now the revisionists in the media are saying, oh, that's bad. D'Angelo's an all-star. Great move. Great move. Not only did they gain cap space, got rid of that horrific Mozgov contract. They got the first-round pick that turned out to be Kyle Kuzma. I'll take him over D'Angelo Russell, unathletic, slow, can't play D, overrated passer, good jump shooter, but, you know, Lonzo Ball has more upside than him, and Lonzo hasn't been that great either himself. But you know, that trade was a win. The Josh Hart pick, that turned out to be a win. I mean, you gave up Lou Williams, but I mean, still, Josh Hart is an NBA player. The Thomas Bryant pick, that turned out to be a smooth, they let him go, but he turned out to be a second-round pick who has stuck on an NBA roster. I mean, they got rid of the Luol Deng contract through the stretch provision, the LeBron signing we've talked about. All the one-year deals they got, they haven't been hamstrung by the Rondo deal and all these other players they signed. For the most part, they are in a better position now than they were when Buss was here. They have the cap space. They're far better. They're not looked at as the laughing stock that they were with Buss and Kupchak. They're put in a position this year, potentially, to get a marquee free agent. They would never have gotten that with Buss. And maybe Pelinka can do it, maybe he can't, but they're better off than where they were. I mean, if we're going to be honest, there was a few bad moves, but the good outweighs the bad. The biggest thing they did was not letting Jerry West come on board. That was the one unforgivable thing. But, I mean, I can even understand, although I disagree with it, the Randall move letting him go, because Randall's been fantastic. I wanted to keep him, but the mentality the Magic had is we are all in. Let's clear up as much cap space because I want to land a whale. I want to land, you know, a superstar max player. So I can understand the all-in mentality. We don't have time to waste. And, yeah, it was a gamble and it didn't pay off because, you know, well, it could pay off, but, you know, losing Randall was tough. But for the most part, you know, they have, you know, Magic has them in a better position now than before.
Yeah, I agree with your analysis. A couple things I would add that I would think is fair, and again, I've been very complimentary of Magic's record overall because he has put them in a better position. But I think it's fair he's received criticism maybe for not getting full value for or waiting out with the Zubac trade, as well as, you know, the way they handle the Anthony Davis rumors, whether that was entirely on him or leaking from other sides, that certainly decimated the team. And that might have shown some inexperience. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. It didn't go as well. Obviously, the team was psychologically affected. It led to a decline in play after the LeBron injury. But that does lead me to something else. When we touch upon that LeBron injury and a couple other things, going forward after the Magic's resignation, what are your thoughts about what's more important at this point? Is it more important to make sure they get a proper front office guy, or are you worried more about the next coach? From my perspective, I think it is absolutely essential to get a proper front office guy. I am not on board with this notion that Rob Pelinka simply gets a raise because he was the best snake in the building and rose his way to the top by displeasing everybody else to the point where they wanted to leave. This guy is not liked in the league. He doesn't seem to be liked by the main co-workers. Maybe he's kissed ass of the people above him, but he's certainly not loved by Magic Johnson, who wanted him out, and apparently not Luke Walton. So the question is, what exactly qualities does Rob Pelinka have that makes you think he's going to succeed as the general manager with little to no experience and apparently no ability to work with other people in the league? They need an experienced exec in there. I think it's going to cost them. This could quickly deteriorate into a Jim Buss type situation, not because Pelinka is as hollow intellectually, but the fact of the matter is he may not simply get the job done, and we're on a clock with LeBron James right now. So I have real concerns about that. I want to know what your thoughts are about the front office situation and about potential coaching hires and how you would weigh these decisions and what might be more important.
Yeah, I agree with you. In an ideal world, we want to get the front office in place, because if you hire the coach first, you bring in a front office guy second, he might not like the coach, and now is the coach a lame duck? Are we looking to replace him quick? Because a lot of times GMs want to come in with a clean slate and do their own thing, hire their own guy. So, yeah, we're kind of going in reverse order, and it could be because maybe Pelinka's trying to do a power grab here, creating a false sense of urgency. Hey, we got to hire a coach, let me run it. Now, you know, he's trying to elevate his stature and standing within the front office, and that could be problematic. At the same time, the reality is there are coaching candidates being snapped up. Luke got snapped up by Sacramento. Other people are trying to interview Monty Williams now. So ideally, yeah, you want the front office guy, but perhaps circumstances could dictate otherwise. Although some coaching candidates might hold out for the chance to work with LeBron James and the Lakers in Los Angeles rather than take some job with a less prestigious franchise or, you know, not having a superstar of that caliber on the roster. So maybe a candidate, they're alleged to have interviewed Jason Kidd today, and maybe a guy like Jason Kidd would want to wait on the market and would be patient with the Lakers hiring an additional front office person, and would be willing to see person is, because the benefit of being interviewed and getting that Laker job outweighs the risk of, you know, turning down a job with a lesser franchise or a franchise with less potential to win a title. So it's a tough argument there. Of the candidates that I've heard, you know, Monty Williams, Jason Kidd, Juwan Howard, and who's the other one that people are talking about?
Yeah, I would say the one that I prefer most might be Ty Lue, actually. Ty Lue.
You know, I like Monty Williams. Personally, I like Monty Williams. Ty Lue, I would rank a close second, just because there's familiarity already with LeBron. And, you know, at times he'll stand up to LeBron. So, and he's won a ring. So, among those, I have those two as the clear front runners, probably Kidd third, because he has been a head coach, although I am a little skeptical about him, as well as Howard, having never been, an NBA head coach before. So, you know, it's a tough thing in terms of the sequence and the chronology of how you want that to happen, but, preferably, you know, if we can get a front office guy, it doesn't look like it's going to happen that way. But if it results in Monty Williams or Ty Lue, I'll take it.
Right. I mean, I'm not too far off with you. I think my preference is for Lue, but Williams is a close second in my book. Lue, just because, yes, he does have the championship experience, has coached LeBron specifically. I think at this stage, the goal has to be you go all in with what works with LeBron. I really don't have a problem considering the alternative at present to making sure that that works first and foremost. And if there's going to be criticisms, again, looking back at Walton's having left this team, again, a mixed record, I would say Luke Walton is the kind of guy you can still see that he might have a tremendous upside. Also seemed to develop some of the players, likable guy. Most people seem to have respect for him in the front office, around the league. Steve Kerr speaks very highly of him. But on the downside, seemed a little stubborn, had a very inexperienced staff, did not take that criticism very well, apparently, when Magic Johnson did not sort of upbraided him about having a staff that seemed to be a stock full of his old UA buddies or some group of that. And ultimately, may not be the right coach,
Brian
been the Shaw right coach
the
for
exception.
A love. Right, Brian
Shaw being
the one
Shaw
major
exception.
Yeah. Brian Shaw being the one major exception of the qualified, and I think Magic even pointed that out to him when speaking with him. But the idea being that he may not have been the right coach for a LeBron James. That's no offense to him necessarily or disrespect to him, but sometimes these superstar veterans are very particular. Arguably, Kobe Bryant never becomes Kobe Bryant that second renaissance after Shaq leaves, unless Phil Jackson returns. Somebody, you know, he can respect. So Ty Lue at least has that history of success. That's why I pick him. But, again, Monty Williams also seems to have LeBron's respect, and that's a very critical factor as well. Going into the last part of this show, I would want to focus on what do we think the Lakers are actually right now. Like, how good is this team as we look into free agency? I do want people to remember that this is the same team that, despite the LeBron's injury and the crumbling psychologically after the AD rumors, this was a fairly decent team. And I think people are forgetting that. A lot of the national people are kind of crowing about how the Lakers are going into a disastrous state. But in terms of on-court talent, what do you actually make of the future of the Lakers? And that's prior to our final discussion, I hope, that we can have about maybe potential free agents. But I don't think they're as lost as some people are trying to indicate. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say because a lot of these vets on the one-year deals are going to be gone. But I want to point you just made about the national media. First of all, when the Lakers whipped Golden State and blew them out in Golden State on Christmas, and the roster was fairly healthy, you didn't hear anything about poor roster composition, lack of shooters around LeBron. The whole concept of the playmakers and ball handlers around him suddenly, you know, seemed to be working. And they were playing well prior to the injuries, but when those injuries occurred, everyone became a Luke apologist. You know, oh, he's dealt with injuries, and that's true. And then they'd say the roster lacked shooters. It did, but you know, Luke didn't really develop some of the young talent either. I mean, Brandon Ingram did, but Josh Hart, I thought, regressed throughout the year. There was a shooting deficiency, but I don't think roster composition was as disastrous as thought. And they later did add Reggie Bullock at the trade deadline. But I think health was a big problem. And going forward, you know, health is going to be a big problem for some of the young players. I mean, Brandon Ingram has the issue with the clotting and the arm issue he had. His health is a concern. But the main thing is they have cap space. And Kuzma still has upside. Lonzo still has a lot of upside, and I think he will get better. He can't get any worse than the free throw line, but, you know, he's shown at the very least.
Certainly his health might improve when he gets a new pair of shoes.
Right. I knew you were going in that one. but yeah. I mean, I think, you know, they have cap space. They have a superstar in LeBron. They have a young point guard that has court vision and can really defend. And he can get to the rim, and he's a willing passer. You have a guy who is breaking out of Brandon Ingram, who can defend. He's long. He can create his own shot. And you have Kuzma, who's really versatile offensively. The three, take it to the rack, has a nice mid-range game, can post. So in that nucleus right there, you have something that can attract free agents. And you know, they have the cap space to bring people in and upgrade. So, and they have a lottery pick. So, you know, I don't think the future is bleak, but you do need, it'd be nice to have a closer like Magic Johnson in the front office to sell a free agent who's on the fence. So we'll have to see. Free agency is going to be a big thing, and maybe a little luck with the ping pong balls might play a role in things too. But I think Magic left the cupboard half full, and I don't think everything is disastrous, but, you know, a lot is going to depend on free agency.
Right, and I do agree that, you know, we're sitting here, yeah, a lot of people are jumping the gun in terms of what they can't do, but then again, that will depend upon what they build on from this year to the next, and a lot of that's going to be how much these free agents trust what the Lakers can do. Last couple minutes here, I just want to go into – what free agents do you think are even likely in the wake of this? I mean, there's chaos at the top in terms of the front office, at least. There's a lack of clarity at present about the coaching situation. To me, it's not as problematic about that. I think you have a couple good quality candidates in Monty Williams and Ty Lue, either one of which would be serviceable and most people would be fine playing for. But what do we have in terms of the free agent market? Recent rumors are suggesting Kawhi is not only is Kawhi interested in the Clippers, there's talk that KD could even consider them. What free agents out there do you think the Lakers are likely to land or could land? Do they have a shot at Kyrie Irving, who has at least said that he talked to the Lakers? There's Jimmy Butler out there. So, I mean, who fits? How do they fit? What do you think going forward?
All of those names are intriguing. I mean, we hear so many rumors and so much speculation about who's going where. Everyone's saying KD's not gone from Golden State, he's going to New York. Then we hear, you know, this week that, hey, him and Kawhi are going to consider LA. You know, I think Kawhi certainly is near the top of that list, not only because he's young, he's a two-way player, he's a top five guy, both offensively and defensively. He can play at the three while LeBron plays at the four in today's NBA small ball world. But and he's an LA guy. Now, everyone is saying the Clippers are at the forefront, the Clippers are on the forefront. But if he's an LA guy, the Lakers are still the Lakers. So that's definitely something that, you know, is possible. But if you can't land a Kawhi, if you can't land a KD, and if, you know, those guys are hesitant to play with LeBron, and frankly, you know, they play similar positions, so that could be an issue. But you might have to go to an all-star, but a little bit less of a tier, you know, such as a Jimmy Butler. But who I would like is maybe perhaps a Kemba Walker, someone of that nature, who has improved his outside shooting, who's clutch, who can create his own shot. And, you know, hey, let's see, let him and Lonzo compete for the starting point guard. You know, I mean, Kemba would win that battle, but you know, there's a lot of big names out there, and you can also, you know, go a little bit less than that. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there, and you know, certainly we can talk about the big names, but I think anytime you have a destination franchise like LA, and you have guys, you know, such as Kawhi that, you know, live out here, have grown up out here, they certainly are at the top of the list. But you do need that guy in the front office that can close the deal. And I don't know if Pelinka's that dude.
Yeah, I mean, we still hear talk that Magic Johnson may still help with pitch meetings. Ideally that he will be doing that. But again, I think the future, even if Jeannie Buss has tremendous faith in Rob Pelinka, and whoever else she's being hearing from, we hear that Linda Rambis has a lot of influence on her. Whoever is having influence, if they don't land that free agent, I think even Jeannie's faith, you know, who might have faith in these people, might be taking that a second look. And we'll be seeing if those same people are going to have that influence a year from now. But that's going to wrap
LeBron
up today's show.
LeBron needs to step up.
Yeah,
LeBron needs to step up. The last
part of this, and again, that's a whole show in itself that we got to touch on, because there's a LeBron role and responsibility to all of this. So I think we're going to have to touch on that in a future episode. All through summer, we're going to be here doing Laker Court. This was just part one. We'll be doing part two, three, four, and five later on this month. So please stay tuned if you get a chance to listen, and visit thedailysportsherald.com. All right, Mike, till next time, we'll be out.
Always a pleasure, my man.
All right, man. See you.